Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Motto at Midnight with your host, Motto Sasquatch. Motto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Motto in sacred ceremony. And now, Motto at Midnight.
Good evening, all. As the nice man said, this is Motto at Midnight. I'm your host, Motto Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. I am broadcasting live from a parking lot. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. First of all, I'd like to thank Chief Iggy for putting my show up today. The way it works here with Blog Talk is you have to call in. A radio host has to call in, or not call in. You go in on your on the internet site, Blog Talk's internet site, and say, I'm going to do my show at such and such a time. You used to be able to set up a show once, and then it went forever. You know, every week I'm going to be back every week at, you know, Fridays at midnight. But I guess the blog talk people found that that was being abused, that people were blocking out, you know, big time and not using them, or were not doing their shows anymore, but neglecting to stop, you know, neglecting to stop the, you know, the program of the show, so it kept showing up on Blog Talk's computer as if the time was filled, and, you know, they couldn't use it for anybody else. So now, everybody's got to go in and program their own show, put up their own show every week. And I've been doing that, but this week, what I ought to do is right after the show, I ought to go online and just program next week's show, and it's done, I don't have to worry about it. But I'm lazy. You know, usually I just, when I'm done with the show, all I want to do is go to bed. And I say, well, I can program it later. And this week, with everything that's going on, I moved into my new apartment, and lots of scrambling around connected with that. Got down to Friday, and I haven't put up the show yet. So I can do it because I can do it. When I'm going home, I can stop at the library, and because I don't have internet at my apartment yet, I can stop by the library and get on one of their computers and do the thing from there. But the libraries close at 6 o'clock on Fridays. So I didn't get there in time. I sent a text to Iggy, and he was kind enough to save me, get on his computer and put up the show for me. Also kind enough to set it to play my opening music there. I didn't know if that was going to happen or not. It did, and for all you do, Chief Iggy, thanks to you. So, back to this parking lot. I'm in the parking lot of the Hollywood Casino here in my lovely large city in the Midwest, out here on the demilitarized zone that is the West Side. They put four casinos. Actually, I don't think all four have been built, but they made provision to build four casinos here in our state, one of them here in the capital city. And originally it was going to be built downtown, but the downtown businesses kind of had all their own things going. So they pushed the casino out this way, where there used to be, what was the name of that company? There was an automotive supply company, you know, high-tech automotive stuff, the computer that goes in your car kind of stuff, and the sensors and all that. They made that stuff, and they got huge. And they were going to save Ohio. They had a plant in Youngstown, and they had a plant here in Columbus, and they got, you know, thousands of employees and hundreds of millions of dollars flowing through these, and then one day, all gone. I mean, it was really rather shocking how quickly it happened. And I don't know if it was sort of an Enron kind of similar thing, except I don't think it was illegal in this case, if I'm remembering correctly. It's just they made a bunch of business arrangements to take care of all their money, and those arrangements all went awry, and the company was done. It's like in a matter, just practically in a blink of an eye, and their plant was shut down, and the whole west side kind of went with it. So the idea was to put the casino here, and that would revitalize the west side. Well, so far it seems to revitalize a small area directly around the casino. And maybe it'll spread out. I know it seems to have spread some since I first came here. So this still does not explain why I'm sitting in their parking lot right now. Well, form a complete sentence, Mudto. My apartment, my new apartment, is actually not close to here, but it is technically on the west side. It's in an area called Franklinton, which is also known as the Bottoms. It's a relatively depressed neighborhood, but has been coming back here lately. It's got some sort of artsy kind of backers behind it. It's like an art community growing up in the town. And I'm living in, I don't know quite how to describe it. It's not really a tenement house because each apartment doesn't occupy two floors. But there are two floors, but there's upstairs apartments and downstairs apartments. And they're incredibly narrow. They just kind of go straight. You open up the door and they go straight back. There's a living room and a kitchen and in the middle and a bedroom in the back. And it's not a whole lot of space, but it's enough for me, and I'm perfectly glad to have it. But I've found this sort of syndrome that attacked me often when I was at my previous place and in other places that I've lived. It hasn't gone away, at least not just yet, is the idea that there are some nights that I just don't want to go home. Because in many ways, the place is empty. I mean, actually right now it's literally empty because I don't have any furniture in it or anything. I got a little bit of kitchen stuff and an air mattress and a pump to fill up the air mattress, which doesn't work. I'm so upset about it, but I bought this whole setup like 3 years ago in case I ever had guests at my apartment in my old apartment. And I had this, it sat on my shelf and never used it for probably 3 years. I guess you must have to use the pump every once in a while because I plug the thing in and charge it up like it says in the directions and hit the thing, and boy, it just kind of like, it's like a soft summer breeze. It's not something that you would think would ever fill anything up. So I had to fill up my air mattress the old-fashioned way, which is a drama. But I did finally get it done, and I'm comfortable enough. I'm going to be working on building my comfort as time goes on. But for right now, it's good enough. Except I'm sitting here now at probably 10 past midnight on a Friday night, and there's this incredible sense of emptiness that comes off of the place because there's nobody there except me, and there's I say nothing to do. Of course, there's all kinds of things to do. Just not the willingness on my part to engage in it. I could write, although it actually would be physically difficult to write because I don't have any furniture. The laptop would be sitting on the floor. It's tough to type that way. So, I'm just kind of wandering around the apartment waiting to go to sleep, actually waiting to do the show. Again, I knew I couldn't do the show. I was going to do the show on the phone. I guess I could have done it in the apartment. But I wanted to get out and about, so I went and I found a grocery store, actually the same chain that I used to go to in my old apartment, so I can still use my discount points and all that. It's quite a distance from my apartment, but not undoable. And it was out, as I say, further west from my apartment. I was close to the casino, so I decided to drop in, and I thought for a few moments I might actually do the show in the casino because it's really not, I mean, it's loud, but it's not, can't hear yourself think kind of loud. But I hadn't taken into account, it was on Friday nights they have live music. And that's can't hear yourself think kind of loud. They're doing 80s and oldies. So I had to retreat to the parking lot having received Chief Iggy's text that the show had, that he had put up a show and it was ready to go. So, I don't know, just felt better to sit here for a while and chill than to try and rush home so I could do the show sitting in my new apartment. And I like the apartment. There's really nothing I dislike about the new apartment. They gave me new appliances. The windows are all covered. They have Venetian blinds in all the windows. The heater works pretty well. I can't really complain because I'm sleeping on the floor. I don't think that the heat is really supposed to get down that far. So it's not like, oh my God, I don't like this apartment, I'm so miserable here. It's the same thing that's hit me basically every place else I've ever lived. There's a feeling of emptiness that comes with it, that I thought this would make me happy, and it didn't make me happy. So what is it that will make me happy? And I go to a parking lot in the casino to figure that out. I know I have some errands to do. What was I going to say about, I can't see it. Now, you know what happened? Somebody parked in front of me. I was looking at this bank that was across the street. There's all kinds of these businesses that are growing up around the casino. There's a bank, which is actually the same bank that I have. There it is. That I have used to have an account in, and I got upset with them. And now I'm thinking of sort of resuscitating that relationship, because I was using a local bank from my mom and dad's hometown that happens to have a branch here in Columbus, and it's not conveniently placed for me now. And I went to put my paycheck in the bank today. I took the bus to work today, and I took the bus to the bank to get my paycheck in. It was raining. The bus dropped me off a couple of blocks short, as they often do. I had to walk to the rest of the distance in the rain. I got there about 5:15. There's a sign on the door saying they're open until 6, but it was locked up, and the lights were out. Nobody inside, and this disturbed me just a little bit. Whereas when I had my trouble with the previous bank, I got all angry and stopped off and don't ever use you again and da da da. This is a more measured response. I think I can keep this account and use it. When I need, it has come up in the past that I've needed, when I'm visiting my mother and father, that I've needed to go to the bank while I was there, and had to, the closest branch of this, I'll just say it, Huntington Bank, the closest branch of Huntington, boy, it's hard to tell stories when you can't say the names of things. I went I would have to go to Huntington branch, just like half an hour away. Well, now I have the local bank in my mom and dad's town. I can just, if I need to use a bank, I can just go there. So I can keep it for those purposes, but I'm probably going to resuscitate the bank. And I'm thinking, as I'm waiting to go on the air here, I'm thinking what time I should get here, because I have tomorrow's big deal is I'm getting my hair cut. Now, I once got got my hair cut religiously every 4 weeks by Susie Whitehorse, who's Chief Iggy's wife. And I hadn't for a while because, frankly, I couldn't afford it. Not a lot of money coming in, and I didn't want to go to some discount haircutter and hurt Susie's feelings. But I think the way what's happening with my hair now, really more my beard than my hair, and my mustache. The mustache gets in the way when you eat, and I find that I've been selecting my menu with my mustache in mind. I can't get, I love the beef and cheddar sandwich, roast beef sandwich from Arby's. It's killing me slowly, but I love it. But I can't, my mustache has been stopping me from eating it because that cheese gets in my mustache, and you use water and you wring it out, and still it's that some of the cheese remains and just glues everything together, and it's very sort of unsightly and not comfortable. So I'm ready. It's been November since I last got my hair cut and my beard done. And I got my pictures taken. Have you seen the pictures on? Actually, you probably haven't. The pictures, because those pictures are on my personal Facebook page. But Chief Iggy's daughter, Marky, took those pictures for me. But I haven't had my hair cut since then, since November. And I'm getting rather shaggy. hair isn't quite so bad, but the beard, I mean, there's some serious Grizzly Adams kind of coming through there. So it's time. It's time to get it done, and, you know, working now, at least for the time being, time to bring hair care, beard care back into the regimen. So that's happening tomorrow. And I have to be there. It's not on the west. It's sort of on the northwest corner. It is the outer belt, the big highway that goes all the way around the city. It's up there on the northwest corner. So I got to get from here to there by 11:15 tomorrow morning. I also have to get my packing done, which doesn't take too terribly long. I don't have a lot to pack. And I want to fit in, stopping in at Huntington and get. I think what I'm going to do is get some checks ordered. That's what I'm sitting here strategizing. You know, what exact bank services is it that I want to request from them? I don't know if I want to be walking around with a ATM cards are just a little bit too convenient. A lot of money kind of slips through my hands, especially in where they once would have slipped through my hands in alcohol and strippers. They now tend to slip through my hands with restaurants. You know, what am I looking for? I got my bag here with me because it's got places or walk and drive places in it. And I'm trying to remember where I put it. Another jarring transition for you. Sorry about that. I also have my shaman cards, but I think I'm going to leave them till next week just because if I get them out, I'm here in the car, and if I get them out and I flip them and I lose them somehow, then I got to try and dig them out of my seat. Okay, and I don't want to do that. So now Mutto gets to figure out how he reads walk and drive places, holds on to his telephone at the same time. Where are we at? April the 3rd? Coming up on Easter. April the 3rd from Walk and Drive Places. More will be revealed. It's about spiritual growth. There's an old saying, to him that hath, more shall be given. That saying applies to our growth in AA. If we dedicate ourselves to the program, new information and understanding will continue to flow in our direction. This is not because God is singling us out for special favors. It's simply a law of life. When we're interested in a subject, we find more knowledge coming to us almost out of the blue as we continue to seek it. It's almost as if hidden forces were gathering up ideas and pushing them in our direction. What's happened is that we have put ourselves in line for such growth. We have our antennae out, and we become conditioned to recognize useful ideas as they come to us. We are open-minded to our good. The same process has also led to more general knowledge about alcoholism. When the early AAs attained sobriety, most of the information about alcoholism was summed up in a handful of books. Now there are hundreds of books, symposia, and speeches dealing with the subject. More was revealed, and we can hope that even more will be revealed as we continue to focus on recovery. I can expect useful information to come to me from a number of sources. My interest in my recovery and self-improvement helps attract the information and understanding I need. Okay. Let's try and tie that into what I've been talking about. First of all, I can't quite tell. I could turn my phone or my clock in the car on the end of it. Or I have my other phone here. Okay. 12:19. Iggy has programmed my show for 45 minutes tonight. And he's been trying to push me to go to a longer show. I don't really want to. I'm basically lazy. I like the 30-minute format. I don't know if I'm going to push past the 30 minutes or not. Well, we'll see what happens. But this time, so we tried to push past 45 minutes one other time, but we hadn't been programmed for 45 minutes. So when we went through the 30 barrier, continued to record, and the whole 45 minutes is on the archive, but it didn't go out. I was told, a number of people told me it didn't go out over the air when they were listening to it live. So in this case, it should, because it's been programmed for 45 minutes. It's just a matter of whether I decide I want to do it. This is this bookmark. I have a guest pass to the Bucyrus Area YMCA, my mom and dad's hometown. How long ago was this? Why? I must have picked that up. Where did I even pick that up? That has to have been when I was still living at the house before I moved to Mansfield. So 10 years, and then it ends up in Walking Dry Places. That's weird. Must have picked it up. It must have been in a desk. It's a desk that I use in my mother and father's house. And lots of interesting stuff in there. I keep saying, well, next time I come home, I'm going to go through that, and then I never do. So what was it about, the Walking Dry Places? It was about information coming to us. More will be revealed. Well, I would like for more to be revealed. I'm kind of... I don't know that... I'm trying to think of things that have been revealed to me. And what the circumstances of that might have been. I guess what the book was saying was if you open to it, at the same time you're working on. They said specifically AA, but you could probably open that up to just about any spiritual process. And my spiritual processes have not been. I've been keeping up on it so well. Here lately, it's all been about trying to get this apartment squared away, and maybe there's just a little bit of a letdown feeling happening there. But okay, now all that's done, all that trouble's been taken. Now what do I do? I mean, I'm sitting in that apartment. Am I different somehow for having achieved that? Did I achieve it? I mean, it's a government program kind of thing. There's a lot about making sure the proper forms were filled out. Well, I went there to pick up the key. It was on Wednesday morning. I was supposed to pick up the key at 7:30 in the morning. I'm sitting outside the place, and I get a phone call at 7:45 saying they aren't going to be able to bring me the key because there's been a snafu at the last minute. I guess there's some certain forms that can only be filed on the day of the lease signing. And there was a problem, I guess, with the amount of money that's paid to me at this temporary job I'm working at. Well, they told me this, and I just went ballistic. I ended up spending most of the morning in my caseworker's office trying to calm down. Instead of, like, almost the release of all this, you know, 8 or 9 months of energy, of frustration that's just been stored up. And in a sort of cathartic process of, you know, screaming at the lady from the housing authority, screaming at my caseworker, you know, the things that I don't normally allow myself to do just because I feel they aren't productive, and generally they're not. But I think in some cases, you just got to let the pressure valve off. And, you know, everything got taken care of. Within a few hours, everything was taken care of. And I was like, wow. If I had known it was this easy, I would have melted down 8 months ago. We wouldn't have had to go through all this trouble. That's, trouble is what it's all about. Both in, I say that sort of cynically referring to government processes, but also seriously in that idea of, you know, all good, that's not the I was going to say all good things, but that's not the expression I'm looking for. It's, everything is, you know, that's not either. It's all about waiting. That's why. Well, it's all about working. Because if you work for it, it's more. The taste is sweeter at the end, or some such thing. I don't know. There's some pithy saying about working for things, and maybe waiting for things is tied in there too. But anyway, so you can see what the problem is going to be already. My voice is going to start giving out by the time I get to 30 minutes. We did that 45-minute show. Iggy was doing it with me, so he was taking some of the responsibilities. So anyway, what are we up to now? We got. I'm working. I'm grading standardized tests. What knowledge is coming to me from that? I had an idea for a blog entry about that, but then first of all, there's two difficulties. First of all, I couldn't write it because I couldn't get into the library. second one is that we're not really allowed to talk about. We're not supposed to talk about what we're doing. So it becomes like I was trying to do with the bank before, how I tell the story without using the name. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I make up different names or I change the subject matter a little bit so that I can talk about some of the things that I'm running into and some of the things maybe I'm learning about myself and my own ability to cope with the massive ridiculousness that comes with standardized testing, or which comes with applying for housing through the government, or comes from applying for food stamps, or for having a medical card. And these are all things that sort of mark me in many people's eyes as a certain kind of person who wants to, rather than give back. And I don't consider that to be a fair appraisal, because I put into the system my whole life, and I did. I'm not averse to working. I want to work, but I'm in this, the situation I'm in now. I sit with in a room with people, either retired people who need a little extra money, or college kids or recent college graduates who couldn't find a job, or people like myself who just have fallen through the cracks in some way, and are looking for a way to make ends meet. And my belief, of course, is that there's going to be, we're going to see more and more of that. Our economy isn't generating all the jobs that it used to, so you're going to have backed up college graduates looking for things to do, looking for part-time, looking for temporary stuff, jobs that they never would have taken, never would have had to take, even 5 years ago. You'll see a lot of that happening. You'll see a lot of retired people who don't have enough money to live on, so they have to go back to work. You'll see a lot of people who've fallen through the cracks. The economic landscape is going to look much, much different than it does now, than it ever has. And it's because of people like the people who own this casino that I'm, this parking lot I'm sitting in, sort of drawing cash away from ordinary people, from working people. Because I was sitting in there, I was looking at a sign. They had the names going by of people who had won big prizes. Mark Miller won $5,000 playing Boobly Boop or whatever he was playing. And they put the hometown. And I was like, Columbus, Ohio. Gahanna, Ohio, towns, small towns that surround Columbus. Worthington, Ohio, then back to Columbus, Ohio. And it was all towns that are right here. This casino is not attracting money. It's extracting money from the local populace and sending it basically to one person. Now, if we're going to invest money in the future of a community, we would have done better to just have invested it and not given 33% away. That's just my opinion. One person's opinion. Oh, dear. What shall we do now? That's the other thing, 45 minutes. And what am I thinking to talk about? Where am I at now? 12:29. See, I'm almost up to 12:30. This is where it feels natural for me to just say, okay, now you're on your own again until Friday, next Friday. And you just live with your own neuroses, and I'll live with mine. If you were on the Facebook page, the Mud Toe Sasquatch Facebook page, you might have noticed a little thing I was doing. I was doing Mud Toe's Christian Heritage Week. That's something that just sort of came to me. So I was having this idea. There was a hymn, a snippet from a hymn, lyrics from a hymn that I wanted to post, but I couldn't think of a reason to do it. I tried to think of why I was in mind to do it, and it occurred to me because I'm going next week, going home and going to my annual pilgrimage back to church with my mother, who worries about my eternal soul, she does occasionally ask me questions like, you aren't still doing that Buddhism stuff anymore, or you aren't still doing that Native American stuff anymore, are you? This is how I sort of assure her that that I'm still in touch with my Christian roots. So I was thinking of this this hymn that they always sing. My background is Lutheran. I mean, I was singing the Lutheran church on Easter morning, and Christ the Lord is risen today. I'm not going to sing it, but you got many verses. And it's one of those hymns. It's, you know, it's like a 17th century song, and it's just developed and evolved over the years. So there's probably 50 verses of it somewhere. It just depends on which ones you decide to pick and put in the hymnal. I picked one of my favorites and stuck it in there, and I was trying to, like, need to put a reason, I thought, of why suddenly this Christian hymn shows up on my Facebook page. So I just said, this is part of Mudto's Christian Heritage Week. And I got to like the idea. So the next day, I think I put in something from the Apostle Paul, if I remember correctly. Something, some sort of kick-ass thing he said about Christianity. And then another hymn. And what else? I put in my confirmation verse. When I joined the church as a young man, because there was a group of us joining all together, and each of us got our own Bible verse for our very own to be our confirmation. And mine was Deuteronomy 6:5, and I still remember that. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And so I put that in. And then yesterday, I did the verse from Matthew that describes not the betrayal of Christ, but the setup for the betrayal of Christ. It's from, the lines are sort of famous. They're from Godspell. If you've ever seen Godspell, they're singing, what's the title of the song? Well, it's not important. There's a song they're singing, and then someone stands up and recites these lines from the Gospel of Matthew, which is what Godspell is based on. And something along the lines of, then the one called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me to betray him to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. But, I mean, that's a setup for the whole thing, and it's the beginning of this debate. Judas Iscariot is a bad person, but if he hadn't have done what he did, we wouldn't have our salvation and our resurrection, because, the Romans wouldn't have caught Christ and they wouldn't have nailed him up and all that stuff. So, there's that basic argument that goes on. Is Judas a bad person or a good person? Did he do what was right or did he do what was wrong? And those are the kind of arguments I like to have. And in some instances, we have the freedom, and I said not always, but in some instances, we have the freedom in our church to talk about things like that. Mainly because they didn't make a whole lot of difference. It was just how you happen to feel about it. Now, things like, the role of the church regarding poor people, that was something that you didn't really want to, you didn't want to be on the wrong side of that debate, because we went to a very hoity-toity church. And my mother was very, I shouldn't say it. Oh, I started. I'm going to finish. My mother was very proud to be accepted as a member of this church, because my mother grew up money poor. She grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, or with my mother's parents were alcoholics and musicians. So this put them, they were like at the below the bottom of the rung as far as social status. And mom told me that her sister, her older sister, her boyfriend broke up with her because her boyfriend's parents forbade him to date her because of who her family was. And, this is something everybody knew. So mom was just so pleased to have these upper crusty people accept her. And, she became a Sunday school teacher and a church librarian for a while. And there was very much, I don't know how much she intended this. There was very, my feeling was very much that from her was, don't mess this up for me. I had to be good, because this relationship with her church was very important to her. And I was not to let any of my aberration was not to jeopardize her relationship with the church. So I did, I got that eventually. and was able to sort of rein things in. Not that I was, you know, probably, I doubt that anyone who went to church with me knew that any of these things were going on in my head at all. But certainly when I got off on my own, I was looking for a different spirituality, different spiritual path, other than Christianity, just for a number of reasons, which I haven't discussed here, and I won't. It's too voluminous. But I am going back. It's the same church, the same big old mausoleum. Although there aren't nearly as many people anymore, everybody's gone out to the church on the edge of town where they play the cool music. And we have, what? I think Mom said we have one, we're down to one Sunday school teacher. One for the kids. Basically all the kids, like sixth grade and under, kind of all have the same. Because there are so few kids. And they're all in this huge building, and they don't need this huge building. But how do you get rid of a church? How do you sell a church? I don't know who's going to buy it. Gorgeous church, gorgeous old building. The big steeple, highest point in town. Very proud of that. And you don't want to point out to them that, you know, the steeple is a nod to pagan people as the Christians were going through Europe, and they were adopting the symbols of the pagan people to ingratiate themselves. A steeple is a maypole, and a maypole is a penis. So our steeple, we're very proud of, is the biggest penis in town. And I think that is something to be prideful about. Although we keep the idea is we have to keep hiring people to keep our penis erect. Because it's going to fall down if it, you know, because it's very old, you know, it goes back, it's a 19th century building, and we have to keep hiring people because it's to keep it from falling over. And they spend, you know, because there isn't a whole lot of money, they just spend the very least they can to just keep it in place. And, you know, insert your favorite penis joke here, I guess. I'm going to hell. We're all going to hell for saying that Jesus' house has a penis. That's what it is. I can't change it. That's what it is. You know, this show took an odd turn, didn't it? Where are we at now? 12:38. That means 7 more minutes if I take a whole 45. Where am I at? Well, I want to write that blog entry about the standard rating, the standardized test. Because it's, I feel, maybe this is kind of what Walk and Dry Places is trying to tell me tonight. I feel a lot of things coming into focus as early as I have to grade faster. Right now I'm grading about 500 papers a day. There's sort of a meditative state that ensues when you're going through just paper after paper after paper. And I find certain things are becoming clearer to me about our situation, well, my situation individually and our situation as a society is reflected in the form that our education is taking, which is towards this, give us this piece of writing and let us evaluate it. And we'll evaluate it, of course, with our own standards. And we're not going to tell you what the standards are going to be. You have no clue, because you have no clue what the questions are. You have no clue what the grading criteria for the questions are going to be. Just show us what you can do and trust us to evaluate you fairly. And you have to make sure to use our language. And I'm not just talking about English. I'm talking about the vernacular of the language, because if you don't use our upper-class white people vernacular, if that's not something that's accessible for you or not, you know, let's be more daring. Something that you don't care to use, if you want to use your own language. If we can't understand you, we're not going to consider your answer to be acceptable. That rant didn't last nearly long enough. 45 minutes. This sort of death march to the end. And I really have to work at it. This is like it's gonna be like walking, getting back into the routine of walking every day. At first, you go back and you just can't walk near as long as you could before, and it's very frustrating. What's going to help me with that is now I'm in a new place. It's hard for me to tell how long I'm walking because I don't have the distance or the landmarks to go by. You know, I know I used to walk down by the on the bike path down by the river, and I knew by how far down the river I went. You know, I wanted to push out over a certain amount of time. I don't have that knowledge where I am now, so all I can go by is when I start huffing and puffing, and that's always embarrassingly soon. That's I mean, these are the things that have to start coming back into focus. You know, the eating has come out of focus, the meds has come out of focus, the exercise has come out of focus, the writing has come out of focus, and it's all been because of the struggle to get this. I can't say it's all because of this. A lot of it is because of the struggle to get this this living situation arranged so I can have my own place, so I'm no longer a burden on my friends, no longer a burden on my relatives. I have my own place, and now no excuses. It's time for me to get back to doing what I was doing, and to bring this new project, to breathe life back into this new project. It's what I have a feeling this is going to become my next obsession. Now that I've got this apartment taken care of, my next obsession is going to be getting the book taken care of, and that's what's going to start causing me all my misery. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay for me to have misery, as long as it's productive misery. I start to move through this last experience to the next experience. And run out of words to say. See, I need the shaman cards. This is going to be a 45-minute show. I need the shaman cards. All packed away right now, safely in my briefcase. And start bringing my musical instruments out too. And I don't know how that would. Well, I don't know. They play some I can tell from the outside. I can hear they're playing some pretty loud music, but in the inside, I don't hear it so much. And I was concerned about doing the show too, but again, the same thing. I don't hear a lot of conversation from the other units. And we're very close together, so I'm not exactly sure how that works. I know a lot of them are vacant too. So, well, I have finally gotten my 90-second warning. So it is finally time for me to step aside, and I hope I haven't tested your patience with this new form. I don't know if it's a new format, but this 45-minute format. I'm glad you hung with me this long, and I will entertain you with more of my ramblings. And fingers crossed, I will remember to put the show up myself this time. Once again, from the parking lot of Hollywood Casino in lovely Columbus, Ohio. Have a pleasant good evening.